This is the sermon podcast of Jim Parsons, the senior pastor at Milford Hills United Methodist Church. For more information about our congregation, visit us at milfordhillsumc.org. Thank you for listening, and peace be with you.
Our scripture today is another long one, so I figured I'd let you all sit instead of stand this time. It is from, once again, the first chapter of Luke. I'll begin in verse 24 and read through 45. So hear now the word of God. Afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant. She kept to herself for 5 months, saying, "This is the Lord's doing. He has shown his favor to me by removing my disgrace among other people." When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. And when the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom." Then Mary said to the angel, "How will this happen, since I haven't had sexual relations with a man?" And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. Look, even in her old age, your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son. This woman who has been labeled unable to conceive is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible for God." And Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me, just as you have said." Then the angel left her. Mary got up and hurried to the city in Judean highlands and entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. With a loud voice, she blurted out, "God has blessed you above all women, and he has blessed your child you carry. Why do I have this honor that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Happy is she who believes that the Lord who will fulfill the promises he has made to her." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills, that we may serve you today, now, and always. Amen. Willie Jennings is a professor at Yale University and was at Duke Divinity School when I was there. And he's a truly gifted theologian, and he preached a sermon on joy back in 2018. And during that sermon, he asked this question: is there a possibility of a joy that joins people who never imagined their joy work together, but usually are forced to imagine their joy work in isolation or even against one another for fear of exploitation? He goes on to say that many Christians only can see the gift God has given, known as joy, as segregated work. And there's some hard truth in that statement. There is a racial reality in our culture that Sunday morning is one of the most segregated hours of the week. But what I also hear is a cultural idea that tells us that we need to live lives of limited connectedness. Our society tells us to live life by our means, with our own hands, and to do things with our own selves. That is the sought prize. We hold up the idea of being self-made as a high pillar of what we should all strive to. The Forbes 400 just came out with a list of the richest people in America and gave them a ranking of 1 to 10 on the self-madeness of their story. They ranked the level 1 person as seen as someone who's inherited a fortune and are happy just to live their life spending it all. Then level 10 of self-madeness are those who are self-made and grew up poor and overcame significant obstacles. For this year, 2023, there are 29 level 10 richest people in America when it comes to their self-madeness. One of them is this person, Harold Hamm, who was the 13th child of Oklahoma sharecroppers and the founder and chair of Continental Resources, one of the nation's biggest independent oil companies. His net worth is $25.2 billion. We can tell stories like Hamm, like Zuckerberg, like Murdoch, like Kathy, like Bezos. We can label them all self-made, but the truth is they relied on many other people, and they truly did not ever complete something completely by themselves. Let's stick with Hamm here. Hamm started a trucking company hauling water to and from oil fields, and in 1971, he took a loan out from the bank to drill his first oil well. Our society looks at that and says, he did that all by himself. However, if you look a little deeper, there's connections to others everywhere. His trucks drove on roads that were paved and paid for by taxpayers. And the bank had the money to give him a loan because of the interest they made off of the money that people put into that bank. I feel confident that Hamm really worked hard and made some wonderful decisions. I'm not saying anything bad about him. I'm saying that he didn't do things to make his billions completely and utterly on his own. To think that someone can run a trucking company all by themselves, without good help, without infrastructure, without support from others along the way, is truly kind of a ludicrous idea. But this is what happens in our culture that is consumed with the idea of individualism. So we're reading through the first chapter of Luke, and last week we stopped in Luke 1 as Zechariah was coming out of the sanctuary, and he lost the ability to speak because he questioned the angels who told him that his wife Elizabeth would become pregnant with John the Baptist. The verse we ended on last week says, when he completed the day of his priestly service, he returned home. Try to imagine that scene when Zechariah gets home. Put yourself in Zechariah's shoes. He comes home, and there's his wife, Elizabeth. She asks how things went. Then what would happen? I tried to picture in my head the game of charades that would happen in that house together as he tried to explain to his wife that he was visited by an angel who said that she would become pregnant and we needed to name that person John. I mean, think about how you would start that sentence without being able to speak. How would you tell your spouse that? I mean, there was an angel who came and told me you'd be pregnant. I mean, how would you even do that? Sure, they could probably write it down, but that assumes they know how to read and write, but, you know, who knows? But still, even if you were able to read it, that is a hard thing to believe. But we pick up the story today. It just jumps with he went home to. Afterwards, Elizabeth became pregnant. And she kept to herself for 5 months, saying, "This is the Lord's doing. He has shown his favor to me by removing my disgrace among other people." The first image of the story we get is an isolated person with a husband who can't talk, clinging to God in the midst of all the questions that come with a pregnancy at a late age. We don't know why she was keeping it secret. Scripture doesn't unveil that reason. We know she kept saying, "This is the Lord's doing." But why not share that joy? Maybe it was a hard story to tell. I mean, how would you describe it when your husband went to work, got a visit for an angel, and now you're pregnant in your old age? Maybe she held the news back because she was worried or feared something. Maybe because of the fact that Zechariah had lost the ability to speak, which might make some spouses extremely happy, who knows. But in reality, probably made life a little bit difficult. So Elizabeth, we are told in Scripture, just keeps to herself, keeps the joy within her, pulls everything close to her for security, for safety, for reassurance, for whatever reason she had. Right after this, we jump to the story of the Annunciation of Jesus, the announcement that Jesus would be born into a virgin named Mary. We know this story because it's a narrative that we talk about almost every Advent season. And the angel wraps up the story with, "Nothing is impossible for God." The These are the words that Gabriel gives Mary as she sits slack-jawed and in awe of this moment that she is living through. What would you feel if you sat there and heard an angel tell you these things? The image on the screen is a famous painting by Henry Ossawa Tanner. It's a painting entitled The Annunciation. It was painted in 1898, and I love this painting. Tanner does a great job connecting Mary's mixed emotions found in this passage with just simply awe, wonder, and amazement. She must have felt all those emotions and more. You can kind of see the innocence in Mary and the reverence in her demeanor. Yet if you were able to look into her eyes, you can see faith and courage as well. Tanner doesn't give us the specific piece of scripture that is happening in this moment, but to me, I look at Mary's eyes and I see her hearing the words of Angel Gabriel, that shaft of light there on the edge of the painting, saying nothing is impossible for God. Now, when Mary heard that she would become pregnant, her reaction is very similar to Zechariah's. She had some doubts because she was a virgin. She replied to Gabriel and the same angel that talked to Zechariah 6 months ago and said, "How is this going to happen?" Gabriel tells her how it will happen through the Holy Spirit. But then, to give confirmation of the reality of what is happening, he tells her about her relative Elizabeth. She was labeled as the one who was unable to conceive, but now is 6 months pregnant. And Mary, after this angel interaction, is so excited to hear the news about Elizabeth and what is happening in her, she hurries to visit Elizabeth. And when the two women greet each other, the baby inside Elizabeth's womb jumps for joy. Elizabeth, the one who is in seclusion, is overcome by the Holy Spirit and shouts out, "God has blessed you above all women." Gabriel made the Annunciation to Mary in isolation. Elizabeth is watching her belly getting bigger in isolation, or at least with a man who cannot speak. It isn't until these two women come together in a moment of shared joy that they are filled with so much excitement, so much love, so much joy that they both just burst. Elizabeth makes this beautiful pronouncement, and Mary sings a song about God's justice and love for the world. Elizabeth was experiencing something she couldn't put into words, and so she secluded herself. The Reverend Cecily Armstrong put it in our devotion, "When we are weary, we might find it hard to share space with others because our weariness has seemingly stolen our joy." In her isolation, in her individualism, Elizabeth could not tap into that gift that God gives called joy. It wasn't until the moment that she shared that she could feel and experience the joy she truly had inside of her the whole time. Sometimes it's just hard to explain what is going on to someone who has never experienced the thing you are dealing with the same way. Sure, Elizabeth could have reached out and connected with some other women of her area who experienced pregnancy. But then again, how many women in this Judean highland village were pregnant as an older adult and had an angel visit their husband to tell them about it? How can anyone relate to that story or reality? Now, groups of people who have gone through traumatic or eventful moments find strength and peace when they gather together with people who've experienced that same event. We saw this a little bit in the news this week as the school shooter in Michigan came up for sentencing and the victims gathered to give testimony. You could tell by just some of their interviews, they had talked to one another. They knew each other. They came together and shared their emotions without having to fill in the story of what happened and why. They could just share without explaining. And there is something very freeing in that. Alicia and I were in England from the summer of 2002 to 2003, and we missed a very big shared event here in North Carolina that people refer to all the time. They tell us stories of their experience and what went through, but we can't relate because we completely missed it. I have no clue what it was like 21 years ago on December 4th, 2002. I learned that during this massive ice storm that hit that day, 24 people were killed in our state, and 1.8 million people were left without electricity, some for almost 10 days. I'm sure as I mentioned that, you in your brain are already going to where you were and what happened and how you navigated that experience back in 2002. You all share that moment with each other. When you share it with me, I just listen. I can tell you what the weather was like in Mossley, England. It was cold and rainy, but no ice. I cannot relate to that collective trauma that you all share. So put yourself now in Elizabeth's shoes once again. You are 6 months pregnant. For the men listening, just kind of go with it and try to imagine. One day a relative comes through the door, and when she does, your whole world is now opened up. There in front of you is someone who understands, who can truly relate, who has seen Gabriel as well, who can look at you with eyes that have seen everything you are dealing with without having to act like they can relate. There is a deep connection instantly. And it is in that deep connection that there's an outpouring of joy that erupts from both of them. Willie Jennings believes in joy that joins. He goes on to a sermon to say and says, "What I learned from my people a long time ago was that Jesus presents a joy that gathers." Jesus pulls us together. And it is in the midst of our togetherness that we can celebrate and find joy exploding all around us. I mean, just look at our sanctuary this morning. Jonathan, if you could like do a wide pan like you do for the when we pass the peace, just for all those who are worshiping online to see. The poinsettias are all in. The candles are lit in the Advent wreath and on the walls. We have the Chrismon tree. I mean, our sanctuary, I don't think, looks better than right now. It's truly wonderful. We're having a moment of a shared experience, and as we look at the beauty of everything around us, we cannot help but be filled with joy. On Tuesday, we're going to say goodbye and celebrate the life of another one of our members, Alice Waddell. We have done that a lot during my time here. And as we do so, our church will happily provide them lunch. We will surround Mike and Angela and all the rest of the Waddell family with our love and our prayers. We do such a good job caring for people going through hard times here. I've often heard people in the church state that they don't know how other people do it without the love and care of their church family that surrounds them and supports them during a hard time. And this speaks to the joy that joins. I'm not saying losing a loved one is something to be joyful about. My point is that when we come together, when we are joined in life with one another, our shared pain becomes lighter and our shared joy becomes brighter. That only happens when we share life with someone. So here's my challenge for you today. Who do you need to see this Advent season? Who do you need to talk to text, to share a meal or a coffee with while we wait for the coming of God's Son again? What do you need to do during this Advent season in order for that joy to gather in your soul? We worship a God who came to do what we see as impossible. And when the products of that impossible come and see each other with Elizabeth and Mary, their joy joins them together. As we continue to travel in this Advent journey, may we be joined together, share life together, the good and the bad, so our shared pain might become lighter and our shared joy might become brighter. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are and how you call us to be in community with one another. Just as Mary and Elizabeth came together and shared that wonderful joy, we ask that you now share with us the love of your Son as we interact with one another. May the joy join us so we can burst with sounds of excitement and thrilling hope and peace for the world to hear. We ask this all in your Son's name. Amen.